Track 8. Village Signs. We're going to hear a lot about Norfolk village signs in future editions of Just Talk. But to start this series, we have a guest contribution from Keith Skipper, who remembers the man behind Norfolk's much-loved carved wooden signs. Tony Stimson will introduce this.
Before we embark on a new series for Just Talk, that of descriptions of some of Norfolk's village signs, let's hear from Keith Skipper, local news hound and columnist, about his acquaintance with the man who started off the whole village sign tradition, Harry Carter. It's a clear sign of growing venerability when you're asked what you remember about a colourful Norfolk character born in 1907, writes Keith. I got on very well with Harry Carter, despite our vastly different priorities, during a 7-year spell when he continued to carve out so pleasant and distinctive an imprint on the face of Norfolk. I tried to make him laugh and forgive my artistic shortcomings. Harry, a favourite master at Hammond's Grammar School in Swaffham for 3 decades, also left his mark on scores of local towns and villages with a series of signs instantly recognisable as his work. Some were made as gifts and many others created for little or no cost. The first such sign he designed and made is the famous one standing proudly at the entrance of Swaffham Market. It depicts the story of John Chapman, the peddler, reputed to have found great treasure as a result of a dream. Harry gave it to the town in 1929. Shortly after the 1953 coronation, approach was made to the Queen offering a sign to one of the villages on the Sandringham estate. Her Majesty chose West Newton, and the sign was carved at Hammond's with one boy elected from each form accompanying the gift when it was presented to the Queen in January 1995. In exchange, the Sandringham agent arranged for a good supply of royal oak to be provided for the school's honours boards. He must have known that I was on my way from the Norfolk heartlands a few months later. My first impressions of Harry Carter as he arrived at Swaffham Railway Station to lead a crocodile of pupils from the Dereham train through town to the Grammar School gates proved both accurate and durable. He was different to the other teachers, with his bow tie, flowing locks and flamboyant touches. He told colourful yarns, some with saucy edge, and seemed prepared to accept some boys would never shine in his art and handicraft lessons. For all my blatant shortcomings and tendency to organise impromptu versions of the previous night's Sergeant Bilko episode on television during woodwork periods, Harry never singled me out for special chastisement. He was fairly generous to all in dishing out his favourite imposition when law and order broke down. Procrastination is the thief of time. Mr. Carter's marking system for art and woodwork exams were in a class of their own. I once received 23% for an alleged drawing of a daffodil and 15% for an abbreviated essay on different types of wood. My treatise thundered, "Wood comes from trees, and many of these are found in Canada." Harry revealed that I collected 12% of my marks for spelling my name neatly and correctly on top of the paper. Harry was a cousin to Howard Carter, the famous Egyptologist who discovered the tomb of the boy king Tutankhamun. By the time of his death in 1983, he had carved over 200 town and village signs. He left behind a treasured legacy of lovingly carved signs and a rich reputation for class entertainment. While the practice is now widespread, decorative village signs are still common in Norfolk. The design usually depicts a particular feature of the village or a scene from its history, heritage, or culture. They are typically made of wood or metal or a combination of both. Modern, cast and fiberglass signs are becoming more commonplace, while the less elaborate are often made within the local community. The tradition of village signs is believed to have started in Norfolk early in the 20th century, when Edward VII suggested that village signs would aid motorists and give a feature of interest on the Sandringham estate. The interest soon spread beyond Norfolk, and this can be attributed to Prince Albert, Duke of York, later George VI, who gave a speech at the Royal Academy in 1920 promoting the wider use of village identity signs. Acknowledgement must be given to the women's institutes who sponsor many of the signs and present them to the villages and towns of their county. Next month, we will embark on a journey around Norfolk, visiting many of these signs. If you have a favourite village or sign, do let us know and we can investigate it for you.
Thank you, Tony.